If you want to turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 52, that's where we are going to be this morning. And once again, technology is great until it isn't. I will be one, two, three, it'll be a half a minute. Over the past several weeks, we have been looking at some of the characters that God has used to keep the story of Scripture, to keep the story of salvation moving from sin to salvation, from perfection to imperfection to recreated perfection. In doing so, I have to admit, I've had to make some decisions about who we would look at and who we might be able to just not look at in this particular series, because I kind of feel like the writer of Hebrews. After the writer of Hebrews has given this great list of some of the strongest or most influential men and women of the faith, he writes in chapter 11, and he says, "And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and the prophets, all these having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Now there were others whose successes and failures could have been used to see how God was indeed keeping the story moving. But decisions had to be made, and so this morning we're looking at one more character from the Old Testament. And unlike the previous characters whose lives we looked at, now had an account of what happened in their lives, this one is more of a shadow. Unlike the others who had failures that showed us that we needed someone more faithful, more obedient, more willing, and less like us in so many ways, this character is seen as being the exact opposite. A perfect, willing, faithful, obedient servant of the Lord. Just saying the words is not enough. We need to see the shadow. The shadows can tell us so much, though they never give us the complete image. I can see the shadow of a tree, and it tells me if it's an evergreen tree or a deciduous tree. But I can't tell if it's a maple tree or an oak tree or a hickory tree. While Isaiah has four passages that speak of a servant of the Lord, we get a shadow picture, not a full view of the servant. To get a full view, we would need to read Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 9, chapter 49, verses 1 through 12, chapter 50, verses 4 through 9, and chapter 52, verse 13 through 53, verse 12. And take them together and then take the context around them, and we would begin to get more of a complete shadow, but still just a shadow. But as with the other characters that we have looked at and will look at this morning, at just a few select verses. This morning we're going to look at what is probably the most well-known of those servant pictures. And from it, frequently, preachers will use it during the Lenten or the Easter portion of the church calendar. But this morning, as we continue to celebrate Advent, we're going to look at him now. So beginning with Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13, this is what the prophet Isaiah writes. He says, "Behold, my servant will prosper and will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted. Just as many were appalled at you, my people, so his appearance was marred beyond that of a man, and his form beyond the sons of mankind. So he will sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths on account of him. For what they had not been told, they will see, and what they had not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we would look at him, nor an appearance that we would take pleasure in him. He was despised and abandoned by men, a man of great pain and familiar with sickness. And like one on whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we had no regard for him. However, it was our sickness that he himself bore, and our pain that he carried. Yet we ourselves assumed that he had been afflicted, struck down by God, and humiliated. But he was pierced for our offenses. He was crushed for our wrongdoing. The punishment of our well-being was laid upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way. But the Lord has caused the wrongdoing of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off from the land of the living for the wrongdoing of my people, to whom the blow was due? And his grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord desired to crush him, causing him grief. If he renders himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, for he will bear their wrongdoings. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the plunder with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and he was counted with the wrongdoers. Yet he himself bore the sins of many and interceded for the wrongdoers." Here we see a shadow of a person who embodies everything that Israel was called to be and who will succeed where they fail, as did each of the other characters to whom we turned our attention. Isaiah begins by telling us that this shadow servant, the servant that was to come, well, that he wouldn't have any worldly accolades. Isaiah says it this way. He says he had no form that we should look at him. And that there wasn't anything that was overly special about the servant of whom Isaiah was speaking of. And as we read through there, you find that Isaiah doesn't just say, well, he didn't have any form to look at, but he tells us that, well, he wouldn't be a rich man. You know, we look to the world around us today, and it's the rich and the famous that we seem to put up on pedestals. It's those with power and good looks that we esteem. But Isaiah said, this servant of the Lord, he wouldn't have any of those things. And the thing is it's not just in our day. We aren't the first people to look at those who meet certain standards and say those are the ones who are important. Throughout history, those who who do things well, that we might call entertainment, have been lifted up as important. Those who have power have been looked at those that, as ones that we bow down to. Those with physical acumen, who just look good, have been lifted up and said, that's what we should strive for. That's what we should strive to be. And you and I, well, we're no different. Those, unfortunately, are things that we put stock in. But Isaiah said that this servant of whom he was speaking, the servant whose long shadow was coming before the face of Isaiah, he said, well, he doesn't have any of those. In fact, if I think about it, I think that musician Joan Osborne, though I'm not 100% sure about the song, may have had it right in her song, One of Us, when she said, what if God was one of us? Just a slob like one of us. Just a stranger on the bus trying to make his way home. Isaiah looks and he says, this servant is going to be a lot like you and me. There's not going to be anything special that would cause you to look at him and to be concerned with him. But if it wasn't enough that he was just an ordinary Joe doing an ordinary job, walking an ordinary life like one of us, Isaiah says not only won't he have accolades, but he is going to be disfigured by torture. And Isaiah lists for us several of the things that would not just not make him more beautiful, but would detract from any beauty that he might have had. He says that he will be pierced. He will be pierced because you and I deserve to be pierced. Isaiah said that he will be pierced. Isaiah says that because you and I deserve to be crushed because of our sins, because of the sins that you committed and I committed, require that we pay a punishment, Isaiah says that he will be crushed because of us. Says he will be scourged. And not a word that we commonly use in our everyday language. We might say that he would be beaten with whips. He would be beaten with whips because somebody thought they deserved a pound of flesh because of the wrongs that we've done. Says that he would have his beard plucked. That's in one of the other passages, not in this one that we read this morning, but if you look at the other three and read the other three servant songs that Isaiah writes, the other three things he says, one of them he says, he's going to have his beard plucked. And I imagine this is kind of like taking a great big pair of tweezers and just pulling out chunks. Not just one at a time, which might be painful and sting for a moment, but large chunks that probably, as they were pulling out these chunks of his beard, probably wasn't just the hairs that were coming out. It was probably ripping the flesh right off of his face. Why? Well, because you and I sinned. Because all of the other characters that we have looked at have shown us that the reality that God had set before Adam and Eve in the garden and the call that he had given to these other characters, each one of them failed and showed us and reminded us that we're failures. In the eyes of God, he loves us, but spiritually we have failed to keep what he called us to do. And the thing is, as Isaiah was telling us this picture of this servant, he's telling us that the servant is going to be the anointed one of God, the Messiah, the promised salvation. But yet, in Isaiah's day, as in ours, this wasn't what you would look for if you were looking for the Savior. You probably would have looked for somebody that was head and shoulders above everybody else, and was the pretty face in the crowd, and who had muscles that rippled in places that you didn't know that muscles could, and they were really muscles on top of muscles that were rippling. And he probably had long, flowing hair, and his speech was eloquent and soothing. And Isaiah says, forget it. That is not who the servant is going to be. He is not going to have the worldly accolades. He also says that he's going to suffer greatly. As we were talking about the fact that he wasn't good looking to start with necessarily, but he was going to be even worse after what he experienced. Well, Isaiah tells us that this is what he experiences. He experiences all of those things for us, and Isaiah makes a point to say that this wasn't just happening with God not paying attention. In fact, Isaiah says that God allowed this to happen. Isaiah says that what is taking place, what may even be brought about by God, because this is what Isaiah says in chapter 53, verse 4. He says, surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him as stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was allowed this, and we might even say even more than that, that God brought it about. But if we take that theologically to the concepts of so much of the world, even in Isaiah's day, what we would say is that he simply appears to be getting what he deserved. You know, somebody doesn't just have these things happen to them randomly out of thin air, unless they're trying to ride the subway in New York or Chicago. This is stuff that happens to those who deserve it. And Isaiah says that as we look at it, we would even say, God is allowing this to happen because the servant deserved it. But Isaiah is saying that's not the case. That's not the case. Yes, he's experiencing these things, but he's experiencing them because God is at work. He also said that he does this because of his own choosing. This isn't something that is just happening to it. This is something that he is choosing. That's why that verse that we like to use around Easter time, he was like a lamb led to the slaughter. But yet he said nothing. He willingly chose. This servant is willingly choose to suffer, to go through the pain and the anguish that is required by God of him to do what God has called him to do. He is willing to do all of that. And he does it in quiet oppression. Isaiah also says that he pours out his life. There is a difference between something being poured out and pouring something out, right? Well, Isaiah says that this servant is going to pour out his own life. He is willingly giving of his own life. He's willingly giving of himself. He is pouring out his own life. He is not having it poured out of him. And Isaiah is telling us that the servant, where others sought others to carry out God's plan, you'll remember we mentioned that about Moses. Moses was the great Exodus leader of the people of Israel, but yet Moses on more than one occasion said, God, just send somebody else. This servant willingly took up God's plan and decided to serve. And since he does this, Isaiah tells us that he also will have God's approval. Because he didn't have the accolades, because he was willing to suffer greatly, he will have God's approval. Isaiah says that even though he will suffer greatly, he will be highly exalted. Which, again, doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. That the one who is suffering is going to be the one that others will look up to. That the one who is undergoing punishment for you and me, in the end, is the one that people will look up to. He will be highly exalted. You see, this is the exact opposite of how he was previously treated. And Isaiah says also that he will be lifted up. Not only will his name be spoken of well, but he will be placed where everyone can see him, and God himself will lift him up. God will raise him up to where he needs to be. He's also approved, we see the approval by God in the fact that Isaiah tells us that he is God. One commentator, Menachem Kalischer, sorry, my Hebrew name pronunciation isn't very good. He says this. He says, when the words Wanasi, or the words high and lifted up, occur, they are reserved for God alone. Thus, when Isaiah unequivocally attributes them to the servant in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13, the first of those verses we read this morning, he is attributing divinity itself to the servant. In the light of these facts, it can be stated that in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13, the servant of the Lord is the Lord God. You and I may not see that in a casual reading of this passage from Isaiah. We may not see that Isaiah is making this great statement, but to those who knew the Hebrew Scriptures well, those who knew the names that were used for God and the attributes of God intimately, would have understood that what Isaiah was saying was that this servant was God. Something, again, that would be very unexpected. While Israel expected that God would send a Savior, they expected God to send a Savior. They were not necessarily expecting God to step in the way that Isaiah says that God is going to step in. Yes, God was acting, God was working, but he was using people. People like you and people like me, and that's what they expected. But Isaiah says, no, God is going to step into history. God isn't going to just affect history. God is going to step into history. And this shadow of the servant that Isaiah is painting for us, in some way, is a shadow of God himself. And Isaiah tells us one more thing about the servant that is really quite unexpected. He says that he will win by losing. He will win by losing. This isn't like somebody who doesn't know how to keep score in golf, who thinks that the lower the score means you're not doing as well, and so the higher my score, the better off I am. No, this isn't that kind of winning by losing. The truth is known, and the way that this servant is going to be successful, the way that this servant is going to accomplish what God has called him to do is going to be through an apparent loss. And so Isaiah tells us that this servant is going to suffer. This servant is going to go through a lot of pain and agony, a lot of hardship, a lot of distress. He is going to suffer. Where Abraham, a few weeks ago, we looked at Abraham and I brought up the fact that there were several times when Abraham was afraid for his own life. And so what does he do? He lies. Or he has his wife tell a half-truth at best to save his own skin. Where Abraham chose not to suffer, this servant that Isaiah is painting for us, he says that he is going to be successful because he does suffer. Isaiah says that he's going to win by losing because he's going to die. He's going to die. Part of the victory is going to be death. Last week we talked about King David. King David killed to cover up his own sin and to try to protect himself. Yet this servant, because someone else has done wrong, because you sinned, because I sinned, because David sinned, because Abraham failed, because Noah didn't succeed, because ultimately, because Adam and Eve made a decision in the Garden of Eden to eat from the tree that God said don't eat from, This servant is going to die. Where others would choose not to, this servant will choose to die for us. Which brings to the next thing. Isaiah says that he will carry our sin. The sins that you and I have committed. The times that we have failed to do what God has asked us to do. The times that we have failed to be what God has asked us to be. The times that we have done what God has said we probably shouldn't do. Those times when we have sinned. Moses. A few weeks ago we talked about Moses, and I mentioned the fact that Moses got irritated at the Israelites and their grumbling against God, and Moses took things into his own hands. And Moses sinned. Moses, the great leader of the Exodus, the great lawgiver, he failed. He failed to keep God's law and do what God had asked him to do. And because of that, this servant will carry our sins. But then Isaiah says that he will win by losing. He's done all of the things that we could not do. And so Isaiah says that in his grave, he will be with the rich, that he will be with those that do right. He will be offered a great position. Not because the earth, the world around us would say that he deserved it, but because God does. He would go where others would not go, and because he would go where others would not go, he could do what others would not do. And Isaiah is telling us that this one that he is showing us and painting us a picture of, he is the character that we are to be looking for, to be waiting for, to be longing and expecting. This character, though he may not look like much to you and me, he is the one that we're to be waiting for. And while Isaiah was given the words of God about the servant, he was not given a clear picture. In fact, none of the prophets who spoke for God had a complete and clear picture of what they spoke of for God. Which is why Peter would later write, as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating, as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which have now been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. While Isaiah didn't and couldn't know or see everything about the one who was to come, he saw a shadow, and he shared that shadow with those to whom he prophesied and wrote. We see the shadow, but we see it differently because we have seen the one who was to come. And because he has come, let us be thankful that there was a servant who was faithful in all he came to do. And next week we will look at that servant, Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, we're going to, as we always do, sing one more song that's a song of invitation for you to begin a relationship with him, but it's also an invitation for you if you need prayer or need to visit about other things to come, as we stand this morning and sing together this next song.